Hey everyone, it's Lori Twitchell, and coming up today on the Nothing Trivial podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about finale season. There were an awful lot of fictional fatalities this time around. I've had some people asking me about it. I think there are a few different reasons for that. We'll get into it a little bit later. Also going to talk about what you're watching this summer. Usually people are all into movies, but there have been some exceptional things that have dropped on streaming. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And I've got a health update. And this week, for the first time ever, I've tried my own hand at editing. So all the mistakes are mine, but there might be some new surprises coming up with the sound design. You never know what's going to happen. Stick around. Nothing Trivial starts now. All right, so now we're in summer. It is that time of the year everybody thinks of as movie time. You know, you've got the unofficial start of summer that I think happened with Thunderbolts, and you've got now the Mission Impossible and Lilo and Stitch and all of the summer movies that are coming out. But I thought I might share some fun things that we're on in streaming at the moment. I know not everybody has the opportunity to get out to the theater or to get out and do things. In Texas, it's really hot this time of year, and so sometimes people are staying in. So I thought I'd share a little bit about what I'm watching on streaming. Now, two of the programs that I'm currently wrapped up in at the moment are on Apple. And if you don't have Apple, it is, in my opinion, one of the better streaming services that is out there. The quality of the content on this network is just top notch. The movies are incredible. Talent, the things that are in there, just fantastic. You've got Ted Lasso, you've got Shrinking, you've got all of these really brilliant things that are on Apple. Two of those programs are currently airing right now. They just started. One of them is called Long Way Home, and you may have heard of this. It is the current installment, I guess, of a series from Ewan McGregor and his best friend. Now, Ewan McGregor, a lot of you may recognize him because he's been in everything. He is one of my favorite actors. Moulin Rouge, oh, brilliant. The man can sing, he can dance. It's just fantastic. One of my other favorites, if you have not watched this movie, you might want to add it to your list. It's called Down with Love. It is a send up honoring those Rock Hudson Doris Day rom-coms, and it is a lot of fun. It is Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger, and he plays a fantastic Rock Hudson-esque character. His Tony Randall-esque counterpart is played by David Hyde Pierce. And again, it's just fantastic. Down with Love. Might want to look that one up. But Long Way, let's talk about the Long Way series. Long Way Round, Long Way Down, Long Way Up is a series, and this one, Long Way Home, is a series of documentary programs about Ewan McGregor and his best friend, Charlie Borman, on their motorcycles riding around the world, just them. They have a bare bones camera crew, and they've got a group of people, but it's not like this huge caravan. It's literally Charlie and Ewan and one camera guy, and then they've got a car that keeps up with them in case there's an emergency, because they go through areas that most people would not. Places, you know, that generally don't get to see. They're not the high traffic touristy places. They pick these areas, and you know, Scandinavia, Norway, Mongolia, not places that you would normally associate with motorcycles. And all of these series have been fantastic. I've always appreciated Ewan McGregor as a person and a human being. It's been wonderful to watch these. They're like a balm to the soul to watch these programs. He and Charlie both have this wonderful curiosity, and they love meeting people and asking questions and going out and eating things that people never normally would eat. And they say, I want to know more. I want to understand more. And it's just a really wonderful series. And the original one, Long Way Round, was in 2004. So they've been doing this for a long time. This time, Long Way Home, they're exploring what they call their backyard. And they started in Scotland, And they're currently traveling through like Norway and Scandinavia and some of these places. And it's just absolutely wonderful. I mean, the drone shots, the gorgeous locations for me, an information nerd, the places and the things that you get to learn about. It's just absolutely wonderful. It is a lot of fun. There are a lot of giggles. Their friendship is just fantastic, and it is great family viewing. Lots of fun. All the series are. But Long Way Home, currently playing on Apple, definitely recommend that one. The other Apple program that caught me off guard is Murderbot. It sounds so weird. It is completely the opposite of Ewan and Charlie out riding on their motorcycles. This one, first, Alexander Skarsgård caught my attention. I adore Alexander Skarsgård. He always takes these really super quirky roles, and the things that he plays, he has a lot of fun with them. I love the whole Skarsgård family, although quite frankly, I'm a little freaked out by Bill. It seems like everything that Bill does is outside my wheelhouse, but I appreciate his talent. Alexander and his father Stellan, they've always been kind of favorites of mine. By the way, Andor, Stellan, brilliant in Andor. If you have missed that one, that is not your typical Star Wars. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think there was a single lightsaber in the whole thing. Oh my goodness, you're just wrapped up in it, and it is beautiful storytelling. So that's kind of a bonus one that I hadn't intended to talk about, but Andor, just absolutely incredible. So Murderbot just premiered on Apple. I knew nothing about the program, and it's really funny because I have this thing with my friend Carla Loriano, by the way, big fantastic author if you love fiction, and she's brilliant. And we have an ongoing joke that I recommend things to her that she will never watch. And she recommends books to me that I just don't have time to read. It's the same thing on both ends of the thing. She is caught up in publishing and writing, and she is very busy, so she doesn't often sit down and watch things. My world is that I watch things because that's where my career sits. And so we share things with each other, and we both have this list that we know we're probably never going to watch, but we keep up with it anyway. So I was texting her about Murderbot the other day, and she was like, "I read all the books. They are fantastic. I wasn't sure about how this would go." And I was like, "Oh, all right. Well, interesting. I might actually need to check out those books." This program has one of the best concepts for science fiction that I have ever seen. And I adore the clever, witty, hilarious, like it caught me off guard with how funny it was. And the premise is that Alexander Skarsgård plays, he is part human. There are organic materials in him. I think that's the way that they say it. He has organic materials, and then he's got computerized materials, robot materials. And he is a security robot, and he finds a way. He says, "It's my job to protect the human race. I'm here to protect these miners." He's not exactly a fan of humans. He thinks they're all kind of jerks. That's not the word that he uses, but same premise. And he finds a way to hack his own governor, which, if you don't know what that term is, it's the control piece that keeps you under control. And he doesn't actually think it's going to work. And then when it works, it freaks him out a little bit because he realizes that if anybody knows that I hacked my governor, I'm going to get put into an acid bath, I will get melted, and I will get rebooted into a completely different robot. And I really don't want that. So he's got to play this game where he is completely sentient, but pretends that he's not. And he gets picked up by a group of, I think he actually uses the word hippie dippies, or if not, he uses the word hippies, but they are like, save the planet, be kind to people, we don't want to enslave people. They are on a mission, and in order to get insured, they have to have a security robot. And so they pick him up. He can hear everything, And he is a part of everything. He is aware of everything. But again, he's pretending that he's just a normal robot. And there are moments that he gets caught out that he absolutely doesn't know what to do. And there is an ongoing voiceover inner monologue from him that is just hilarious. He's got commentary on every single thing that happens. And one of the plot points is that when he hacked the governor that allowed him his freedom, he also was able to access all of the content and the streaming channels, basically, the television and movies. So that's part of how he disconnects himself from other things. He gets wrapped up in intergalactic soap operas. And I think at one point he even says, I have watched 7,500 plus hours since hacking the governor of this soap opera. And you get glimpses of the soap opera. But it is clever. It is witty. It caught me off guard with how fun it was. It is very rare for me to cackle, laugh out loud. And there were many times that I paused it and rewound it because I was like, seriously, did that just happen? It is a lot of fun. If you are an introvert, I think that you will get a kick out of some of this. There are moments where I have friends who are introverts, and I know the monologue that is coming from inside this robot, this security android, is something that happens with introverts. Like, oh my God, this person saw me. They want to talk to me. What am I supposed to do? What should I say? How do I keep playing this? It is a lot of fun. It is so clever. If you are a science fiction fan, you definitely want to check out Murderbot. Lots of fun. It is a great program. Now, if you don't have Apple, two of the other programs that I'm really enjoying, one of them is on Peacock. It is the Grosse Pointe Blank Garden Society. It has a little bit of a Desperate Housewives vibe to it. There is an ongoing mystery. As a writer, I adore the way that they have in this first season. The first season just wrapped, that they unraveled this mystery. It keeps you completely engaged. Every week, you're thinking that you know what's happening, and then you go, oh, I really had no idea what was happening. It's dark comedy. There is a lot of there's layers throughout this program. It has some really fantastic actors in it. Nancy Travis, she is one of my favorites. But it is a fun mystery, just really well done. And if you've got Peacock, it's on there. It's one season so far. The characters are fun. It keeps you engaged. Definitely a lot of fun. Now, on Paramount, the other program that I have very much been enjoying, and it surprised me. I thought I've seen all the commercials for it, and I thought this is so not my deal, but I thought I'd give it a shot with School Spirits. This program is a little bit like a mix up of Ghosts, which is on CBS. I do love that program. If you're looking for a comedy, definitely check out Ghosts on CBS. It's a crossover of like Ghosts with The Breakfast Club. It is teenagers at a high school who have all died, and their ghosts are there trying to figure out the mystery of how they died and what happened. It's got some comedy, it's got some drama, but what surprised me was how deep it ended up being. I just watched the first few episodes as sort of a throwaway in the background, and it was fun. It was clever. I was laughing. Okay, this is a really kind of cute concept. But at some point, it became really layered. It discusses trauma, mental health, and it does it in such a clever way. You don't feel like you're beat over the head with it. You're really wrapped around these characters, the relationships between them. But there are parts like there's this one character that like died in the arts and crafts room and has never since they passed left that arts and crafts room or stopped doing what they were doing at the time. You know, you've got to ask why, and I mean, that's the point of the show. They all passed away in some way. Unfortunate football accident on the field, unfortunate swimming accident, unfortunate band accident. I mean, like, I would never want to go to this high school. It's kind of like living in Smallville, all the terrible things that happen in Smallville. It would be awful to go to this high school because of the sheer number of accidents and deaths. But it's been absolutely fantastic to watch this program, and it is a fun one, and it is engaging, and the storylines are done so well. So that one's on Paramount. So my four recommendations for the moment, if you haven't watched them, Murderbot, Long Way Home, both of those on Apple, School Spirits on Paramount, and Gross Point Blank Garden Society on Peacock. Now, I'm curious, what programs are you watching right now? What programs are you wrapped up in? And what programs do you think that I should watch? What programs would you like to hear my opinion on? I want to hear them. So drop me a comment, email, message, something, and let me know what you're watching. Obviously, we've reached the end of seasons of television programs. And one of the things that people have reached out to me about, and they've asked a lot of questions about it, has been the number of fictional fatalities that were in series this year. Particularly in this 2025 season, it seems like there have been a lot of fictional fatalities. And people have been asking me about those. Like, why is that trend happening? There are, I think, a couple of reasons for that. Let me go through the top three that I keep hearing complaints about. Number one, and there are potential spoilers in here, but I think if you're anywhere online at all, you've probably already heard these spoilers. The Last of Us, obviously, that was a really big fatality, and it caused a lot of people to stop watching. We'll go into some of the reasons on that, but we've also got 1923 with Alexandra, and she didn't make it. Again, a lot of outrage with the Alexandra one. And the other one that I think shocked everybody who was a fan of this program was 911. Bobby, he's one of the stalwarts of the program. Man, all those fatalities just really shook everything up. And a lot of people have been saying, why is that like a story trope this season? Those all happened, I believe, for different reasons. Obviously, The Last of Us, that is, they're playing according to their outline that they follow because it's based on a game, and that happened in the game. And one of the big divisions in the fandom there is the people who are fans of the game who knew that it was coming, and the people who are just fans of the TV program tuned in because of Pedro Pascal or Bella Ramsey, and they were shocked by it. Caused a lot of division and discussion online. One of the things that I would like to say is that I absolutely hate it when people gatekeep a fandom. Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, any of those things, when they talk down to people who are brand new to it really bothered me to have all the snarky, nasty comments from people who knew that this was coming towards the people who were surprised by it. The know-it-all crud, I thought that was terrible. I think one of my friends said it the best. She said, "I watched this program because it is a program. It is a streaming program that was widely announced and shared and buzzed for how brilliant it was. I am not a gamer. I don't care about the game." To me, this felt like an unnecessary, absolutely out of the blue, unneeded, and unreasonable death. And I think, and then of course she got all the, "You didn't know this, ha ha ha," from all the gamers and everything. I think one of the things that people need to recognize is the difference in mediums. In the game, and I am not a gamer, my assumption is that in the game it caught everybody off guard in a similar manner, but it's a game and they move on and they play different characters and they get into the next season, etc. There is a difference of expectations from an audience that is watching a program. In a game, it is my belief, and if you are a gamer, and I am messing this up, and my son, who is going to edit this, will probably come back and tell me later, yeah, you really messed that up. But in a game, it is my assumption that you can move to the next thing, and it's the next character or the next level or the next layer. It doesn't run that way when you're following a story narrative in an ongoing television program or streaming program. So that's where that disconnect sort of came from, and I will be very curious to watch and see what their ratings run like and see how they fall out from that. I understand they needed to stay faithful because they have that gamer audience, but I wonder if there maybe wasn't a way to navigate somewhere through that difficult minefield of the people who have gaming expectations versus the people who are just watching for the television narrative. So there's that piece. The 911 piece, not exactly sure what happened with that. I think that they were probably just trying to shake up the snow globe on that one. The stories were probably getting a little bit tired, and they, in that program, just because of the nature of the program, everyone has a death-defying thing, and they have done all the death-defying things: hanging off buildings, upside down cruise ships, fires, floods, all the things. And so I feel like with that one, they probably said, we need to shake things up a little bit for these characters because it's becoming a rote story. It's becoming too formulaic. So I think that's probably where that came from. I appreciate that they have not made him pass away and had everything just move on without him. It's been wonderful to watch them mourn Bobby along with the rest of us who loved him. And so I have appreciated the way they did that, although I was one of the fans who did not appreciate when I watched him go. And that was a tough one. Now, 1923, I have a different spin on that one. And this one's coming from both a fan of the show and from my creative side of things. I'm going to preface this with I have a lot of friends who are in that program and who are involved in Taylor Sheridan's universe. He films down here, so we have a lot of crossover. I absolutely adore that I can be watching an episode and go, oh man, look, there's Holt. There's Tommy. Look, I'm so excited. I love that. 1923 was far and away for me the first season. Was much more my favorite than 1883 was. I love Tim McGraw. I love Faith Hill. I loved that storyline. I watched it. It was not something for me that would be rewatchable. But 1923, when it hit, it felt more in my realm. I love Helen Mirren. I've always joked that she's who I want to be when I grow up. She is just an amazing actress that can take on any role. And I really loved the way that the story unfolded in the first season. I'm going to come out and say this though. I wasn't a fan of the second season. The first season, I felt like Spencer and Alexandra, they had that exotic vibe, gave me the Meryl Streep, Robert Redford, Out of Africa vibes. And if you've never seen that movie, oh my goodness, you need to go watch that movie. Brilliant. I loved their love story. And I think that the balance of storytelling in season one, Alexandra and Spencer gave us hope. Even when they were in the ugliest of circumstances, they loved each other and they gave us hope. Whereas the things that were happening back here in Montana were not as hopeful. They were horrifying. And I think that those two contrasting stories helped balance things a little bit to the point that when it ended at the end of season one, we were all very hopeful about Alexandra and Spencer coming home. They're going to save things. It's going to be amazing. I think when season two happened, there was no hope anywhere. There was no goodness that helped balance out all of the ugly. And part of me, while I was watching, wondered if there were some struggles going on behind the scenes, because sometimes if they ask for Like, if the network loves that it is a high-level program and it's getting all the numbers, they might say, can you extend the story longer? Can you give us another season? Can you do this? And part of me wondered during season two if that was happening behind the scenes or if that had happened, because so much of season two's story did not progress further than, look, this character is getting tortured. She's stuck out in the middle of nowhere with two people and the white people are chasing her. And Alexandra has been assaulted yet again, and she is no closer to anywhere. And America is a terrible, awful, horrible country that is just beating her up. And Spencer is almost, a mile further than he was last week. Plus, you've got all the things that are unfolding. There was a whole lot more lewd grossness in this season. There were entire scenes that I fast-forwarded through because I don't need to see any of that. I would actually get angry when certain things were dropped in the middle of one of those scenes because, to me, that's manipulative. There was nothing of value in the prostitutes who were learning to hurt and maim and kill each other for pleasure. It just was gross. And there was no hope. In that first season, you could have some of those things and going on, but then you've got this beautiful love story that is happening and this couple that are like, they're brilliant, strong, beautiful people, and they're together. When you separate the two of them and you give us an entire season without the two of them together after you built an entire season of their romance, it just made it really hard to handle. And I really have negative feelings about season two. It felt like the story did not progress very far. I was frustrated by the time that the finale showed up. I was like, okay, I'm just going to watch this just to watch it. And it feels like all of the beautiful, incredible storytelling that could have been in season two was jammed into that one finale. And I didn't like, from a story perspective, what it felt. And people, I don't like criticizing other people's work. Taylor Sheridan has an entire empire on the air, so obviously he's further along than I am. He keeps my friends working. I don't like criticizing these things. But from a creative perspective, I didn't appreciate that Alexandra's death felt like this whole season two. It didn't, to me, show her, it showed her strength. And maybe that was what the intention was to show what a strong person that she was. But it felt at the end a little bit like in Star Wars when Padme died. That angered me when Padme died because they're like, I don't know what's happening physically. She's fine. She's just giving up and boom, it's over. You have this incredibly, amazingly strong woman that at the end feels like their only purpose was to birth a baby and push on the man's storyline. I know that sounds horrible. I know I'm going to get flack for that, but that's what it felt like at the end. Alexandra's abuse for being a woman, I'm not saying that wasn't real, because in that era and everything was real, but to have it repeatedly put in our faces every single week, multiple times over in an episode sometimes, multiple assaults all the time, everywhere. At one point, I actually yelled at the screen, is there no one nice in her world in America at all? Is there no one kind? Everyone was just out to steal from this woman, assault this woman, have relations with this woman against her will. There was nobody on her side that entire season. And that bothered me. And then at the end, to have her give that up, I understand that from a certain perspective, it is the ultimate sacrifice that she chose to give up her life for her child and all the things. I get that. I really do. And I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that for those of us that you made fall in love with Alexandra at the beginning in season one, it was a very unsatisfactory story and ending. There were a lot of fictional fatalities this season. Did you have any programs that you were watching where there was a fatality or a story plot point that just really annoyed you or bothered you or that hit you emotionally? I'd love to hear about it. Drop me a note. Drop me a comment. If you think I was wrong here, I'm more than willing to entertain that. Just be kind, be nice. Let's have a discussion, not an argument. You can email me, Lori@itsnothingtrivial.com. You can also drop a message on social media. You can comment. Love to hear about it. And now, time for that update that I promised you at the top of the show. I know that we had like an unintended little bump in the schedule for Nothing Trivial. I don't know if anybody else actually noticed it, but in my head, I think as we all do, I had this absolutely perfect schedule of it's going to come out, blah, 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 blah. And, it didn't in the last couple of weeks. And that's been due to some health issues that I've had going on. And I just want to say that I appreciate every single person who has reached out and touched base, asked how I'm doing, all the notes, the texts, the messages. They mean a lot to me. I very much appreciate that. I think this is an ongoing health issue. It's not like a cold or a flu or a blip or anything like that. Ultimately, I do need surgery, but our current healthcare system is not quite as easy to navigate on some of these things. And it is a women's health issue. So I'm learning a lot about how some of those are accepted. And I've had some moments on that. That will likely be a Twitchy Talks editorial, I don't know, rant later. But I think in general, in our society, we have been raised and hardwired, maybe at least my generation, not to necessarily ask questions, probe, get deeper, and to assume that everything is just like a cold or a flu or something that you're going to get over. And unless you've dealt with something like an autoimmune disorder or a longer-term health issue, it's really easy for somebody to go, yeah, I know you've felt bad a couple of weeks ago, but it's been a couple of weeks. You must be okay. I think grace and compassion and empathy, this is a good place to keep those things in mind. Our society is so fast-paced and everything is instant these days with social media. It's really easy to kind of forget, especially in the algorithm. If you get dropped off someone's algorithm, they can go, oh my gosh, Lori, I completely like forgot about you. And I don't ever blame anybody when they say that because I recognize that for whatever reason, I didn't pop up in their social media algorithm, so they weren't thinking about it. I had one friend who wrote to me over the weekend and went, I don't know what happened, but I haven't seen anything on Nothing Trivial. So I went to the site and I miss all these things. And I was like, yeah, I feel that way too, because I find out about friends and their stuff that's going on long after it happens. And I'm like upset. I miss the olden days of Facebook when it used to be most recent all the time. You used to be able to set up your news feed so that you were constantly seeing what's happening now. And I kind of do miss that part. But long story short, it's an ongoing situation. So I do beg some grace and, please be patient with me on a few things. I never know exactly what might trigger this to go back to a rough time. And I just appreciate the people who've reached out. If you have a friend that you haven't thought about in a while, maybe drop them a note today and say, hey, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do to help you? And now we've come to the part of the show where it's time to start wrapping up and saying goodbye, but not before we give credit where credit is due. The Nothing Trivial podcast is, in fact, a Lori Twitchell production. Everything that you hear and, for the most part, experience during the course of the Nothing Trivial podcast is a product of my imagination. Scares me a little too, except for the sound design, because sound design and editing is 100% in the wheelhouse of John William Twitchell, whose job description includes making sure that I sound good and that I'm not too awfully embarrassing. The music that you are listening to is Loopster by Kevin MacLeod, and you can find an entire library of his work at incompetech.com. If you've made it this far, once again, you get bonus points for life. You are deeply appreciated. Go out and buy yourself a cup of coffee or do something nice for yourself on me. And whatever you want to do today, remember, I believe in you. You can do it. Go own the day.